The drama is over for now, and I just want to be done with it all. So I just want to have a good night with you guys. I've been looking forward to talking to you guys all night. So let's just have a good night, can we?
Of course.
Okay, good.
Today on Bachelor Party, the Mother of Dragons joins us to break down a very emotional episode. Let's do it. Let's batch. This episode is brought to you by Priceline. When it comes to travel, we all have that happy place, whether it's the beach, ski slopes, couples getaway, or even a visit to that best friend you haven't seen in way too long. And Priceline wants to get you there for a happy price so you never have to miss a trip. For me, my happy place is in the Mediterranean. I think I've mentioned that. Maybe it's why I like Love Island so much, because they're right by the Mediterranean. But I just love the feeling of being in the sea, and it's just a great sea. And now, thanks to Priceline's VIP family feature, you can go to your happy place more often while earning deals up to 5 times faster with a group. When one person from the squad travels, everyone gets more deals. And you even get to choose your crew. It doesn't have to be your actual family. It could be your neighbor, your roommate, your mailman, anyone. The more you travel, the more you save. And for me, I'd love to go on a trip to the Mediterranean with friends. In fact, I might be doing that in the near future. I have done it before, and it was really some of the most fun I've ever had. I went to Sicily. We had some great swimming there, me and my friends. Anyway, if you want to have a similar experience, download the Priceline app today to save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your happy price with Priceline. This episode is brought to you by eBay Authenticity Guarantee. eBay knows that when it comes to jewelry, authenticity is the real gem. When you see the blue check mark that says Authenticity Guarantee, it means your next piece will be carefully inspired by jewelry experts and will always be worth its weight in gold. Whether you're looking to make a statement or build the perfect everyday look, eBay is making sure you get the real deal. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that jaw-dropping piece will always arrive jaw-droppingly real. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. Welcome to Bachelor Party. I'm Juliet Littman. Today, I'm joined by probably a Hall of Fame guest here on this ye old humble podcast. The only, Miss Mallory Rubin. Hello.
Wow. Juliet, I'm blushing. What an honor.
Mallory, you are one of my close friends and even closer colleague, and we talk most days. However, yes. We have not had a single substantial conversation about the season of The Bachelorette. So all of your takes are going to be brand new and fresh. I have no idea what you're going to say. I can make some guesses, but this is pretty exciting.
I bet you nothing I say will surprise you. I'm so predictable at this point in my life. It's very painful for me, but who knows?
I made an outline and we're going to go over it, but I immediately want to deviate. I just want to ask you, have you watched the promos for Matt James as The Bachelor?
I mean, of course I've watched the promos for Matt James as Bachelor, and they've brought me considerable joy, I have to say.
I kind of can't believe it. I kind of can't believe that after all of this and this crazy life that we're living here in 2020, that Matt James 919 is going to be the Bachelor in but a month's time. I kind of just like, it blows my mind.
Part of what is so amazing about it is just we've all, I think it's fair to say, lost the sense of time, space, the flow of the year, and the flow of Bachelor Nation is no different, Juliet. So it was shocking to me to remember upon seeing these promos in recent weeks that it's the end of 2020, and that means it's almost time for his season to begin, which was astounding, because watching The Bachelorette, you just, even though you know it's in October, November, now December, just associate that so specifically with an earlier point in the calendar year. Very weird.
I know.
Very surreal.
It's crazy. Matt and Tyler put out some merch, and it includes Tyler being nearly naked, holding a pie over his genitals, and Matt not quite as close to nude, but also scantily clad, minus like the sweatshirts or whatever.
Yeah. Brilliant businessman. That's my take on that.
And then Matt and Tyler also were at the Dolphins game over the weekend, and they were in a box, I guess they call that in stadium world. And it was Matt's birthday and he had a cake and he threw the cake in Tyler's face. There was loose mask wearing. There's just a lot of Matt and Tyler happening right now is why I bring this up. And if I'm a Bachelor producer, I'm not happy with this. Like they cannot be pleased that Matt is like already freestyling, has his merch line, is back with his best bud. This is not standard Bachelor protocol. And I just sit on to say they can't be happy about it.
Well, let me play devil's advocate for a second.
Okay.
That's the origin story of all of this.
Oh, like I know. I think the origin story began here on this podcast when we discovered Matt James 919 via stalking Tyler. I am so aware of that.
So whether they're happy with it or not, they had to expect it. He is of the internet, right? And the casting is amazing in so many different respects, but the adoration that the Instagram viewing public specifically has for Matt, for Tyler, and for Matt and Tyler together is a huge part of how we got here. So there would be no reasonable, I have to think there would be no reasonable person who would think that that would go away. That's always going to be a part of the experience, right?
I don't know. I still just think they can't be pleased. I have no inside scoop, but I just see this unfolding. And I'm just like, this can't be what they were hoping for. I don't know, but I can't wait to have Tyler back on TV. I'll just throw that out there. I thought that I was over Tyler, but here I am spending 4 minutes on Matt and Tyler. So
I have a couple of quick insights. One, okay. Your love for Tyler is eternal, and I think you should embrace it. I feel similarly. Two, it's been a challenging year. A lot of awful stuff in the world. And it's important for us all to celebrate the things that we love and that make us happy. Some of the things on my list of things I love, just a few. Pie, merch, Tyler. So those things coming together delights
me. So it's a bingo for you.
Yeah. Mullen.
It looks like a pecan pie, though, if memory serves. And that was not appealing to me.
Do you think they're just, you know, not to be too crass about it, but are we just going for a straight nuts, a nuts thing there?
Didn't think about that.
That's how that seems to me.
A nut pie. Good point. Okay. Good point. Yeah, I feel like we're getting a lot of Matt James promos. I guess Matt James 919 himself is not famous. So they're probably like, we need to turn it up because people don't really know who he is. So I guess there's that. I don't know. It's just a wild world. It's also just so weird. Like thinking about the season of The Bachelor, of course, it's this time of in the cycle where you're like, well, who could be the Bachelor from this group? And we'll come to that. But we've got so many people that are going to come into our Bachelor Nation, so many new arrivals on the shores of Bachelor Ellis Island, and they could, you know, take the reins away. Like there's going to be a full Bachelorette season again before it's even time for Bachelor. It's just very strange. Right. It's just a weird, weird season. How do you feel about the season in general? Are you enjoying it? You were not a Claire fan, so I feel it played out in your favor. You never have been a Claire fan. In fact, when she was announced back in March, you and Bill were just so disappointed.
I've enjoyed my viewing experience this season.
You're giving a diplomatic answer. I don't want one. I see what you're doing. I do not want a diplomatic answer.
I am grateful to have Tayshia in my life. And have really, really, really enjoyed Tayshia's weeks on the show. Mm-hmm. I like this group of guys a lot.
Me too.
You know, the experience with Tyler was just so transcendent and transformative that obviously nothing can compare. It's not even a reasonable or fair bar to measure future classes against.
That was like probably the peak of Bachelor Nation culture, the Hannah Brown season. And like Hannah was a good bachelorette. The quartet of Jed, Peter, Tyler, and Luke was like so absurd. Like that's hard to believe they ended up that way. We're never going back to that. I mean, also, like, I'm not sure I want to, but I will always think of the 2019 Bachelorette in a very specific Tyler framed way. And It was just like a special internet experience. Honestly, it's like everyone went crazy over this guy.
Justifiably so. What a person.
Have you seen these nuts?
I found the Claire Dale experience, I guess, honestly, to be fascinating, almost as like a watching a social experiment unfold. I mean, it was impossible to avoid spoilers about what was going to happen there, right? Obviously, as you've discussed at length on the pod, they just had to kind of lean into that at some point and acknowledge how much of that was known. And so I found it as just a TV viewing experience, actually genuinely interesting in that respect. It was like, how long are they going to play out this farce? How long are we going to watch something that we know we're not actually investing in? I just find Tayshia to be a delight. I've always been a Tayshia fan.
Of course.
I spent the first, I'd say maybe 30 minutes of the Tayshia experience thinking about JPJ, you know, wondering if that door was really closed for good.
It's not what I thought you were going to say, by the way. I thought you were going to say staring at her boobs, but okay.
I can multitask. But I really, really, really quickly invested in not only many of the guys, but many of the prospective Tayshia relationships. I've been surprised. I'm wondering how much of it is because it's a good and interesting season so far, and how much of it is the quarantine effect of the fact that I, like I'm sure many other viewers, am completely and totally starved for human interaction. An affection of any sort, and how nice it is to see even a facsimile of it playing out on my TV. Well, Halo, I mean, my cat is just full of love and wonder.
You're speechless thinking about him. I see you like tearing up.
He's very special to me. My husband's fine too.
I'm happy for you that you've got your cat and also your husband.
I want, because here's the thing. We're normally, we talk about the season a lot in the office as it's happening. I've obviously been listening to your podcast. So I know your takes. I know how you feel. Now, I'm curious to hear updates, of course, based on the latest episode. But I feel like we're not on an equal footing. I'm curious to know who you think I like from the group. Will you indulge me?
Sure, I will. I just want to say, I was thinking about this. I love Ivan and I love Brendan. This is the first season where I haven't spent the majority of the time, not the first season, but like kind of. I just usually think about this as like, if I were the Bachelorette, like who would I be interested in? Like who, like what would I be doing? For some reason, I just can't see it anymore. I don't know. Like I don't see myself with like most of these guys. So it's definitely been just an interesting personal experience. I hope that means personal growth, but who's to say? Who do I think that you are into? Well, I just find these guys like very, they're just different. Like they're much fuller people. So it's a lot harder to like graph a future onto them, you know? So I don't know. It's just like, it's just been a really interesting, different experience. I do think the fact that they're like older and less vapid makes a really big difference.
Well, and how much of it also is that they're in one place? Because there's only so much time that the show can spend showing us people riding around La Quinta on scooters. And to be clear, it looks lovely there. Great place to spend a few weeks. But the dates are, in essence, in terms of activities, location, framing, things like that, utterly inconsequential. So it actually has been all about the conversations that they're having with each other. A little bit of the paradise effect.
Man, are they intense. Yeah. There's a lot going on. Yeah, I mean, I like that part of the show, personally.
Me too.
Let's get back to you. Let's guess who you're really into. First of all, I know that you spent a long time on Ben's Instagram last week, so I assume you're really into Ben.
I definitely felt that it was, you know, you had asked me to join you on the pod. I'm always so
kudos to me for asking months in advance. Absolutely,
I know. It's
months.
Been on the calendar for a long time.
Yeah,
I considered perusing Ben's Instagram to be research, and part of my responsibility as a professional. I like Ben. I love Zach.
Zach was going to be my guess. I was going to say that you probably loved Zach. He
oh
reminds
my God.
Me. He reminds me of people I've heard you talk about in the past, and he played baseball. And he just
huge Eagles fan, so that's unfortunate. But other than that, I love him.
That's fine. You'd love a football rivalry in your home.
That's true.
You don't really have one with the Ravens and the Broncos. You just both have your team. It's not really like a rivalry, though.
Once years ago, back in the era of travel and leaving one's home, I did go to Baltimore during a Broncos Ravens playoff game because Adam and I couldn't bring ourselves to watch it together.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, the Eagles are in the NFC, though, aren't they?
Yeah.
Okay, so that would be good. It wouldn't be such a huge issue just meeting the Super Bowl.
Can I quibble with your critique of Zach's shoe game?
No, we're not there yet. We'll get there. But I just want to say, what about Brendan? I feel like you'd have a real soft spot for Brendan. Yeah.
Brendan's my other favorite. They're my two faves. And I really like Ivan, too.
I adore Brendan. Like, absolutely adore. I also, like, one thing that sealed it for me is that I saw some pictures of him on Cape Cod, which is, like, one of my favorite places in the world. So I was like, oh, he's a Cape Cod.
So then you can envision your future with him.
I don't think so. But Nora and I talked about his accent. She was like, he sounds like my grandfather.
Sounds like her grandpa.
And now I just think about Nora's grandfather all the time.
Brendan's great. I like almost all of the guys. Again, it's just a very engaging and kind of captivating group of people who we've gotten to glimpse more fully than I think we typically have at this point in the season or really over an entire season. I'm excited to talk about Brendan with you a little more today because this was the episode where I think I started to wonder, is he going to be able to do this?
Okay.
He seems so
nervous. Let's just dig into it. Let's just dig into the meat of this episode. We'll come back to the other guys. Already deviating from my outline. I've literally never once followed an outline well. So be it.
Listen to your heart, Juliet. That's what Chris Harrison would want.
That's true. And then also we can talk about some of the guys who are gone.
Okay.
If you like any of them too, but we'll come back to them. Okay. Let's talk about Zach. Back to Zach. So first of all, I feel like I'm starting to be confused. I'm like, have I met Zach? There's something so familiar about him that I'm just like, have I met this person? Like, and then if I'm like, no, who do you remind me of? There's a hint of Nick Viall in Zach, very small hint. I love Nick. Had a nice catch up with him yesterday. So I say it with love. Oh, and wonderful. Yeah, he's like, he's doing great.
And Nick doesn't like when you or anybody compares him to people, right?
No. And I actually relate to that. I, too, do not like to be compared. It's just, wouldn't you rather be one of a kind? just saying. But Zach got really emotional this week. And I feel like we saw the two sides of Zach really playful when he was joking about having cheated on his sixth grade girlfriend.
Emmy. Poor Emmy.
That was a pretty good story. I was about to be like, what the fuck? Why are they talking about this like childish date? Like it's a big deal. And then it was a child date. So I was like, oh, okay, it's fine.
I'd like to dig into his strategy for a second. Mostly I want to talk about his heart and his courage, which I find so incredible.
I was out on Zach, but I've totally come around. I now really like him and feel bad that I was ever negative about him. And like, I just think he seems like a really good guy who tries really hard every day. Like that you just get the impression that he tries hard.
I've liked him from the beginning. It's interesting that you say he like reminds you of somebody because I think that was part of why I was drawn to him. There's just something sort of familiar about him. And I think part of it, and I mean this as a compliment. We'll try to phrase it in a way that comes off as such. There's something just that seems like normal and approachable about him, right?
Yes, that's totally it. I love the normal guys.
Yeah, and still like, you know, extremely handsome and like, you know, on all of their 700 dates this season where they've been in various states of undress, looks great with the rest of them. Like, it's not like he is not one of these beautiful people, like everyone on The Bachelor and Bachelorette. Of course,
he does dress like a normie, like big time. You're just like, he's so normie. Also, Mallory, he's so East Coast. Compare him with like Ben and Spencer. He is like straight out of the cloudy, gray December weather. Like, this man does not belong in Palm Springs. I think you're responding to that too.
A fellow mid-Atlantic soul who just wants to pop on a Eagles cap or in my case, a Ravens cap and talk about football. I want to get into the heart that Zach shows us, but just quickly, the lie detector. I just have to flag the strategy here. It's not worth the risk of Tayshia thinking you actually are a cheater and are somebody that she can't trust, can't build trust with in a relationship. Everybody has witnessed this season so far moments where they don't get the time that they think they're going to get to explain themselves fully. Too risky. I didn't want to see him in that situation. I was so relieved when he asked if he could explain, and then he did, and he talked about Bolarama. Great look for Bolarama. But
Bowling
if I'm
fun.
Zach,
oh, I actually love bowling. Went to a bowling birthday back in 2019 or 18 when the world was normal, and I had a great time.
Bowling's a blast.
Yeah,
back in the day when I worked at SI, we had a bowling league, and we went to Frames at Port Authority.
Sure,
Zog Bowling League.
I think I had a birthday party as a child. It had a different name back then. Carry on.
I just think Zach should have said either. Maybe not no, because you don't want to say no in response to that question and then you get thrown an inconclusive or a red and it's like, shit, this is going to be hard to dig my way out of. And then no matter what, Tayshia probably would have thought that he was lying or trying to cover his ass. But much as we saw from many of the other guys, and he did go earlier, at least based on the way it was edited, you don't have to just give a yes or no answer. You could say something more complete. So I wish what he had said was, in my youth, when I was a misguided sixth grader, hitting the lanes, but not since then.
I want to hit you with a theory.
Okay.
I believe that Zach cheated in sixth grade on his first girlfriend.
Yeah.
I also think it's possible that's not the only time he ever cheated. So while he was not lying,
she asked him. She said, she pushed and followed up and said, is there anything else? Is there anything else you're not telling me? And he said, no.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to call him a liar. I certainly don't want to. But
it seems to me that truth is a big part of Zach's life now in the way he's
absolutely. He's clearly part of his recovery. 100%. I think Zach just seems so committed to living a certain way every day. It's really like touching and like moving.
Oh my God.
So
I thought the scene when he broke down in tears, both with the other guys on the couch and then when he was talking to the producers and to us about what his family meeting Tayshia would mean to him was honestly one of the most touching and moving things I've ever seen on the show.
As someone obsessed with her parents, I was like, this is really sweet. It's just like, I get it. I love my parents too.
Oh my God. It was so moving. Like he said, knowing how happy I've been the last couple of weeks with Tayshia, they deserve to see that because there's been some times where I wasn't very happy and he could barely choke out the words. And he's been so open, so vulnerable, sharing his story, his incredible perseverance. I think it's amazing, his courage to be so open and not only what he's done in his own life and the gratitude that he has for the people who have helped him, but his commitment to then being that for other people is just remarkable. And
yeah,
it cannot be easy to talk about that stuff with relative strangers knowing you're on TV. And he just is so forthright with what's in his heart. I find it like awe-inspiring.
I think he's really
and
sweet
he has
too.
Good sneakers, despite what you said.
Okay. It's not that the sneakers are bad.
Sakai
it's how
blazers.
He wears them. It's how he wears them. It's not that the blazers are bad.
They're Sakai blazers. That's a very coveted drop. Really hard to get. And do you know what he wore this week? He wore the Travis Scott Air Jordan 1 highs. That is like the shoe of the year last year.
Are those the ones from the Spider-Verse movie?
No, but that's also a great, the Spider-Verse Miles Morales Air Jordan 1 is great. The Travis Scott ones are like the mocha with the reverse swoosh. Right.
Gotcha.
Great stuff from Zach.
How do you think he got them? Stock X or like, does he have a hookup? Seems like he might have a hookup.
I don't know. That's a
we'll
hard
have to ask
get.
Him one day. I just think he wears them in a way that like makes it seem like he doesn't have ankles or something. I don't know. It's just like weird. Just weird. I like his normal guy vibes a lot though. Like I just really like he's someone you would actually meet. That's all of my favorite guys from this season are like normies. So I'm just like, yeah, I'd meet you and be interested. I just love the jobs. Just love it. I never want to go back to the unemployed crop of aspiring models and Instagrammers. I just love employment. It's so beautiful. It's great.
We also got a lot of exchanges or approximations of exchanges of feelings with Zach and Tayshia this week. You know,
oh,
one of the
she's
things
into
that
him.
Was,
I think yeah. that the way that she nestled into his arm when he was showing her the photo from their photo shoot.
Oh, that was really sweet.
Yeah. Was the most natural affection we've seen this season. And I was like, she should pick Zach. Based on that alone, I was like, she should pick Zach because they've got a real just like body language chemistry. I'm not saying that well, but they just work. And
yeah,
they both
feels
seem
organic.
Really excited about it. Yeah. And I also think that he seems playful with her in a way that he isn't with the guys or like just talking to the camera. And like, yes, they do try to get you to like talk about your emotions when Tate's just not around. But I think the fact that she brings out his playful side is very sweet and like another reason why they're good together. I also found him crying in the like group hang when he's thinking about his parents really poignant. Cause like,
oh man, yeah.
Everyone I think can relate to like feeling like they're in like a pressure cooker and then it's like a thought just sort of like getting you. And I think that's probably what that scenario is like, where like you hear about a group date and like you're just like playing it out in your mind of like, okay, group date and then hometowns and then this and then that. And like, he's just sort of like gaming it out. That was my perception. And I think we can just relate to like that moment where you're just like, oh, this is a lot. And like, you just feel like the pressure valve needs to be open and you start crying. Who hasn't been there? Unfortunately, I've been there sometimes at work and I'm like, oh, I got to go outside so no one sees me crying. But like, it happens.
Well, absolutely. As you know, I am fairly free with the tears. And
you're not at work though.
Well, I try to simultaneously.
The great Kelly Catrone said, if you're going to cry, go outside. So.
Well, you know,
this is now the
home is the office, so
it's all very just turn confusing. That Zoom camera off and cry away. All right, let's talk about more of these dudes. So you're really into Zach. Let's talk about Ben. First of all, I just want to say,
Tayshia told him that she was falling in love with him. Let's not leave this is
Zach.
Yeah.
Oh, I also really liked his answer when the lie detector test, which was like, could you see yourself falling in love with Tayshia? And his response was, it may have already happened. I thought that was cute.
Yeah. And then later saying that he hated it because he wanted to tell her that in a more intimate setting, like thus affirming the feelings that I,
yeah,
great stuff.
It was sweet. It was really sweet. I liked it. Let's hold on. We skipped over the whole lie detector premise, by the way.
Yes. What did you think of this?
So on Carpool Karaoke, they sometimes do a lie detector thing. But like, there's like this guy who gets into the car with them and like reads out the answers. He's like a real polygraph technician or whatever. They should have done that instead. I mean, I guess it was like a problem of quarantining, but it would have been a lot funnier and more effective if it was like a real polygraph.
Right.
And not like just like the weird screensaver on JoJo's screen.
Yeah. I definitely thought many times, what app have they downloaded?
Yeah. And it was also just seemed like creatively edited. I was like, are we getting the truth here? Like, I wanted a more legit polygraph, but it's fine. We'll talk about JoJo at the end. I want to discuss if you like her or not.
Okay.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. All right, it's official. I think I've discovered the ultimate coupling of all time. Like any good relationship, they really balance each other out. One is super sweet, and the other, well, they can be a little nutty sometimes. It is, of course, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. So perfect, some would call it true love. Find Reese's now at a store near you. This episode is brought to you by eBay Authenticity Guarantee. eBay knows that when it comes to jewelry, authenticity is the real gem. When you see the blue check mark that says Authenticity Guarantee, it means your next piece will be carefully inspired by jewelry experts and will always be worth its weight in gold. Whether you're looking to make a statement or build the perfect everyday look, eBay is making sure you get the real deal. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that jaw-dropping piece will always arrive jaw-droppingly real. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
Okay, we'll come more polygraph in a second. I want to talk about Ben. So Ben, yes, also a front runner. First of all, Ben, so glad he's still with us and that he's doing better. I was really pleased to hear him talk about his therapy for himself and just as like a role model. And
yeah.
Similar to Zach, like, it cannot be easy to come out with that stuff. In fact, he acknowledged that his sister and his family would be learning about some of his suicide attempts from the show. So I hope he's doing okay tonight. It also must be really hard to watch that back. So I send him the best and hope he's doing better. And it seems like he is. So that's great.
I thought it was an amazing conversation to have the chance to see it, you know, you don't get to see stuff like that on this show a lot. And again, the fact that, you know, Zach has opened up, Riley opened up in this episode, Ben opened up last week and then again on their one-on-one date, I can't imagine how hard it must be to bring yourself to share that, knowing that you're on camera.
Yeah.
And knowing that the world is going to be a part of that conversation, not just the other person sitting at the table with you. But I think that that's also what makes it so powerful in a way, because I think and I hope that there will be a lot of people who see that and feel Ben's strength in that moment to share that, feel the support and the love and the encouragement that Tayshia showed him.
Yes,
Tayshia, the way that he talked about the support that his sister has given him. And
she was an awesome partner
and encouraged
in that moment. Absolutely. Yeah, I thought that was like really meaningful and just shows that like she really also likes him. So Ben, that's, you know, I hope he just continues to thrive. And that, you know, I think this is a really challenging time for everyone. So I hope that he's still able to feel supported and have the resources he needs and everything. And I really, really commend him for sharing.
Yeah, me too. I think it can mean a lot. Obviously, everybody's situations are different. Everybody's lives are different. Everybody's circumstances are different. But I do think that it can really mean a great deal to people when they hear somebody else find the courage to speak about the things that have happened in their life, the trauma that they have suffered. And hopefully Ben is feeling the impact that he's had on people, and hopefully other people are feeling empowered and comforted by what they saw from him. So proud of him.
This, me too. And this episode also kind of changed my opinion on him a little bit. It made me wonder, like, if he's getting a specifically heavy edit of some kind. Because everything Tayshia says about him, I'm just like, are you seeing the same guy? Because she's like, he never opens up. He doesn't do this. He doesn't do that. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like there's something, like, I don't know what's going on with Ben. And I feel the opposite about Ben. I'm like, he's on TV a lot. We know a lot about him. He talks to the camera a lot. And so I was just like, is she seeing the same guy as us? And it made me realize, like, how much we've really seen him in interviews versus spending time with her. And that just sort of like occurred to me where she was, it just makes you remember she has got like so much going on and so many guys. Whereas like the editing makes so that you can like focus on like one guy at a time, basically.
Well, that's an interesting point. And I think also it's the distinction between maybe like the broad stroke sense of how a person feels or who they are, or how they behave, and then the actual specific circumstances of their life that inform that, right? So I think that it wasn't until last week's episode that we really started to learn more specifically about Ben, about his history, about the things he's been
totally
through. Like we knew he was in the military, for example, but we hadn't heard him really talk about that until this episode. So, you know,
breaking
one of the things
back.
That, horrible. Yeah. Yes. And you know, one of the things that he said was, he said, I was completely lost. My life was very dark and I didn't know how to say that I needed things. And I think, again, a lot of people feel that way in their lives. And one of the things that Tayshia said to him at dinner on their date that led to everything that he shared was that, you know, the more kind of traditional, I know you're holding back. But then she said specifically to him, I feel like there's hurt there. And there are definitely times on The Bachelor, The Bachelorette, reality TV in general, where I feel like people are put in a situation where they're being asked to share things that they're not ready to share. Like, I'll tell you, one of my least favorite moments of the season so far was the date between Claire and Jason back at the beginning of the season, where it was just like, whether you're ready for this or not, tell me all of the pain in your heart. Throw that out there to somebody that you have no connection to or relationship with. Like, I always get pretty queasy in moments like that. But when it
is
something
Jason,
that,
he really got burned by that.
Yeah, when it's something that develops more naturally and feels like an authentic thing that a person is ready to share, then it can be really impactful. But Tayshia said, I truly love Ben. We didn't see her on camera saying that, but we heard her say that while they were dancing.
I have a feeling that's from later on. I feel like she didn't know this week, but maybe she comes to love him. There's a lot of Frankenbiting happening, like a lot in this season. By the way, thanks for bringing up Private Concert. It was a guy named Adam Hambrick. Just would love a behind the scenes instant oral history of how they got Adam Hambrick to be this week's Private Concert. Also love that Tayshia was like, I've never had a private show before. It's like, well, you can't leave The Bachelorette without having it. And I was dying. I was like, okay, so he agreed to quarantine. Interesting. Guess he had no reason not to. He's also a songwriter. He's a country music guy. And I'm happy for Adam Hambrick, but I just, he's going to go down as like, oh, right, the guy who was willing to quarantine to be the weird private concert musical guest.
I have some quarantine logistics questions for you when we get to Bennett's return.
Okay. Sounds fantastic. It's a great question. Before we move on from Ben, they had the stupid date where there was like a scavenger hunt around La Quinta. They were on the scooters. He tried to like be like cute and like push Tayshia over. He tried to like kick her off her scooter. And I was like, Ben, what are you doing?
the little butt tap. Yeah. I thought he did a pretty good job with all that. He knew that love meant to go to a tennis court.
Yeah, he did a very good job. Very good.
Ripped the pinata open with his bare hands. Took his pants like, off to go into a fountain.
Yes, that's what I wanted to ask you.
Okay.
Did Ben have to take his pants off? Was it necessary?
All right. I will say three things. One, judgment-free zone. I think if people want to take their pants off and they're with someone else who wants them to take their pants off, go for it.
Of course.
Live your life. Yeah. Be you.
Sure. If everyone's comfortable with it.
If I think most people, if they looked like Ben, would take their pants off more. And three, few things in life less comfortable than wet jeans. And Ben wears really tight jeans. Awful. So stepping into a fountain and then having wet jeans on, I don't think that would be pleasant. That said, it's like 120 degrees. They would probably dry pretty quickly.
I'm actually shocked by a lot of their clothes. It's so hot. Why are they wearing pants? Like, I understand they might not have brought shorts, but like, ask production to get you shorts.
I'm actually surprised by how few times we've seen people sweating profusely. It has happened sometimes.
I was studying this week. I was like really looking for it because they're outside a lot. No sweat stains. Where are they?
Ben was definitely sweating a little bit when they were sitting after. He had like you could see his hair as he was brushing it back was kind of wet with sweat. And he was wearing like a dark, maybe like a navy shirt, a darker shirt.
It was sort of like a dark slate gray.
When the light caught it in a certain way, you could see Ivan was dripping sweat.
Was he? Love Ivan.
Dripping sweat later. I would just basically, I think, walk around in the nude and carry deodorant with me and just basically say, it's up to you if you want to be near me or not. But I'm drenched in sweat. It's 120 degrees.
I would be so unpleasant. I can't even tell you. I hate the desert and I just hate desert heat. I just put it. Hate it. I feel that Ben did in fact have to take his pants off. Otherwise, as you said, his jeans would have been soaking wet and that would have been just awful. I wonder if this was planned like so that he would have to take his pants off, like knowing this is what he would wear. I also just want to note, like
fountain water, public fountain water on your clothing.
Weird. Yeah.
Hard pass. Well,
it's not that public and it's like super chlorinated, but yeah, sure. Whatever you say. I was just like, you know what, Ben? I was going to mock you for this, but no, you're right. You need to take your pants off. It's not your fault. And he looked good and she liked it. So if we're all happy as consensual adults, then fantastic. That's great. I thought that date was really lame. It probably seemed like a good way to get to know each other, but like just one of the worst dates they've had. That and the haunted house date last week with Easy. Just really
horrible. But there's just only so much they can do. You know, you're starting to feel the fact that they have been in one place for a really long time. And there are only so many times they can trick Ed into walking to the wrong side of the complex. Like there's just there are only so many places to go and things to
I know.
Do. We're not escaping to distant lands.
I just brought up Easy. I just want to pause on him for 1 second. Refinery 29 had a report last week that Easy had been accused of sexual assault. And then there was some speculation online that they edited the show around him, basically, to like have him be less present when those allegations came out. And, you know, if true, that's illegal and disgraceful and horrible. And I hope that his victim is okay. And there's nothing else to add, but just terrible. And the show needs to do a better job of vetting this stuff. I mean, it's difficult to vet every accusation, but this has just happened a lot on the show. And there's no excuse for the show or for Easy. So anyway, I just wanted to note that. Let's move on to the rest of the guys who are still here. Let's talk Brendan. We talked a little bit about him. I just love him. Why do I love Brendan?
So are you not calling him Brendo anymore? You've pivoted back?
Brendo is really fun to say. Thank you. Here's the thing about Brendo. I just feel like I want Brendo to be happy. I'm not like attracted to Brendo, but I just like adore him and want him to find happiness. I thought his conversation about the divorce was just so endearing. I just want the best for him. And I think the best could be Tayshia. They seem to really like each other.
I think that he and Zach seem like the two that she is drawn to the most.
For sure. She definitely is into Brendo. He's suffering from the fact that he got the first one-on-one. If he had
I was going to say, I can't tell if he just hasn't felt very prevalent because he's not going to end up being the one she picks or in the mix at the end, or if it's one of those classic bachelorette experiences where it's hot and heavy at the front. The basically just like flow of the season removes that person from view for a long time. And then it's hometowns, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's just a Brendo frenzy at the end, which I guess we could get. She is clearly incredibly into him. He seems to feel strongly and genuinely strongly as well. I thought that his less even the way that he taught, and he said he acknowledged he was nervous. They had candid conversations a couple times in this episode. I thought that the look on his face during
about the family.
As he was anticipating being called down.
He's got stuff.
I took note of that.
He's got stuff.
It's really soon, right? I mean, he's gone through a divorce. He has been very candid about the fact that was very painful for him and his family, of course.
I think it's been less than a year, too. Like, I think it's fairly recent, his divorce.
Do you remember how he answered the question about whether he was prepared to propose during the lie detector? He said, I hope so.
I hope so, yeah. And I think we saw a teaser at some point of him talking to her about the timeline, but how it was, like, just too soon.
So, oh, Brendo.
Brendo. Tough.
He seems very sweet.
He's so sweet. He just seems like a great guy. I don't know why Brendo has captured my heart so much, but I just
another
like,
great
to be,
Instagram, by the way.
I want to be happy. As I said last week, I do not approve of his Instagram. Like, Brendo is not a thirst trap kind of guy to me. He is funny. His captions are funny.
They are. That's part of why I like it. It's not just the look at my eyes and my stubble glamour shots. There's this like real wit and nervous energy in every caption that I just love.
How tall do you think Brendo is?
Oh boy. I have zero feel ever for people's height on TV. Ever. Height and age. I'm horrible at assessing both, as you know.
I think Brendo looks younger than 30. He's 30, but I think he looks younger. I think he's probably 5'11", 6 feet.
One?
But I'm just curious. Okay. No. Yeah.
6'1". What does his casting profile say? Let's see.
That's a good question.
Say? I'll check. Let's see.
Brendo is just there's something about him I just find so sweet. So Brendo, I hope you're happy, if that's Tayshia or not. But when he was like, I really want that to be true, or he's like, no, I really mean it, that was pretty funny.
Oh yeah.
Poor guy. poor guy.
That was amazing. I swear I am, when he whispered that to her.
I know. It was just so adorable. Oh, Brendo. Brendo's another classic East Coaster. I'm just like, can't imagine you in Los Angeles for a second.
I wonder if he'll be one. A lock that he'll be one of the hometown selections, of course. I wonder if he'll be a contestant where the family gets in
doesn't
his head.
Come
or get just gets in his head, you know, not that they won't like Tayshia or won't want to see him happy, but they plant the are you ready
you
for
just
this
got
again?
Divorced
is this too
yeah
soon? And he did say to her, I want it to be the last time I ever do that, like when I propose again. And I don't know.
Brendo, we fear for your future with Tayshia. Let's move on. Riley,
sweet
got a lot of Riley this week. Riley seems like a great guy. First of all, I really appreciated him talking back to JoJo. And she was like, Riley, you must be familiar with this. Your clients have probably had to do it. And he was like, yeah,
iconic
I advise
reply
against it. I loved it. I refused
so much to let them. Yeah. They're not always accurate. And he
was
so measured.
Yeah, I really appreciated it. Having grown up watching lawyer shows with my mother, who's a lawyer, her always pointing out that lie detector tests are not permissible in court. I was just, thank you, Riley. I really appreciated it. I also just thought that like Riley's story was very sweet. Basically, he explained that he changed his name when he sort of wanted a fresh start in his life after, as an adult, reevaluating his parents' relationship, who'd gotten divorced, and his father had gotten sole custody, and he felt like he didn't get enough time with his mom and that she had a lot of things, as he said, taken from her. I thought that was really, really moving and sweet. It indicated to me someone who, as an adult, is really like analytical and thoughtful and sort of like considerate about himself and the world around him. And I found that really moving, and I'm like all in on Riley. Seems like a great guy.
I love Riley. He's awesome. He's so mature and composed and very thoughtful in his interactions with Tayshia. The little gestures, the little celebration cake for their 1 week anniversary. I thought was really cute. I think
that was also really noteworthy because so infrequently do they timestamp things like right. 1 week yeah. later.
It's helpful. Yeah. Disorienting, but helpful at the same time somehow.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're just like, I was sort of wondering like what he was timestamping that from, because it's been more than a week that Tayshia's been there. Probably at this point, it's like
when he asked her to be boyfriend and girlfriend.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. So it was probably, it was a week ago.
Yeah. I think that what feels really refreshing about Riley, let me try to think of how to articulate this. Often on this show, and it's part of what you buy into as a viewer, it's part of the experience, it's frankly part of why we watch, people open up, quote unquote.
They let down the walls.
That, yes, like that's part of the built-in narrative and the structure of the show. You reach a moment where you share. And there are times when you're watching the show that that feels like, oh, okay, like, we hit that point in the calendar where somebody's supposed to share something. I think that one of the things that I really respond to in Riley is that he just feels very authentic. And I don't get the sense at all that he's like playing any sort of Bachelor Nation calendar game. He's.
I agree with that a lot. And I think that's a really in stark contrast to someone like Ben, who I feel like is very aware of the benchmarks and sort of like what needs to be done. And I often feel like Ben is very much, while being authentic about who he is, I think in their relationship, it's very attuned to like the rhythms of The Bachelor. Whereas Riley also is like being genuine as himself, but is just sort of like doesn't know what that's supposed to be.
Yeah, I think that his candor has a bit of a meta quality to it, right? Where, you know, when he was asked during the lie detector test about whether he was ready for Tayshia to meet his family, he said, I really want her to. Am I ready for it? I don't know. And again, it's not like it's so uncommon to hear somebody on this show say, I don't know about how they feel, but it struck me as the kind of thing where he's, as he said across the episode, he's not necessarily inclined to let people glimpse certain aspects of his life or his past. And I think that the choices he made to share what he shared this time and during the self-portrait date last week as well, it felt to me more like because he thought it was something that was important for him to do, like for himself, yeah. Which I respect.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. He just seems like a kind of like a nice, normal guy.
Yeah, I really want a like family.
I feel like my East Coast bias is really coming through. I like all the East Coast guys.
Well, like, I mean, yes, we're Riley, losing some of our West Coasters, you know, yeah, tough beat it. For San Diego Spencer, one of the biggest whiffs in First Impression Rose history, right?
Absolutely. I think that very was uncommon. For Tayshia, that was like just very familiar. So she went with it, but then he was empty. I have to say, someone messaged me and I really appreciated this, that after I like proclaimed that Spencer would be hanging out in a very specific part of San Diego, someone messaged me to say they had seen Spencer on a date recently in that part of San Diego. So plus one for me. I feel good about that.
You.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Lastly, still in the running, haven't discussed him. Ivan. Tell me one
huge
bad
fan.
Thing about Ivan. How do you feel about Ivan?
I love Ivan. What's not to love?
He's my pick
He's
for
a
Bachelor
gem.
Of this group.
Oh, he'd be great.
He'd be fantastic.
He'd be amazing.
He'd be incredible because he's really articulate. He's smart, but I also get the impression that he's just like good vibes, wants to have fun. Seems like he's got the right alchemy. I'm all in as Ivan for Bachelor.
I love it. Super smart, really genuine. Does seem like he likes to have fun, you know, climbing across the pillows in the room, eating a bowl of ice cream the size of a small nation. Willing to and ready and eager to talk about real mm-hmm. things, substance, race, family. I mean, he's a
dream.
He's
got it all. He's got it
he's
all.
He's a dream.
Ivan's the real deal. He's the full package. I want him for Bachelor. I will remember him in 1 year's time. And like, it's okay that it's going to be a long layoff for him. Don't send him to paradise. Don't mess up his resume. Let's just get this guy in the lead. It's going to be good. Mark it down, Ivan. I'm drafting you. All right. Also, technically still in the running, Blake. But like, what the fuck? My Amazing. Big question for you is, how is Blake still here?
I think every now and then you just get one of these seasons where a couple people make the top six or seven and you have no idea how. And it's really just as simple as only three or four people were ever actually in the running.
The sex addict Blake made it to the end, or made it almost to the end. It's shocking. You know, see,
Adam of Adam and Raven, mm-hmm. his season, I remember like, how is he?
I know. I forgot that he went
still around.
And seriously,
Blake is similar to me. I did think though, when we transitioned from Claire to Tayshia, just because of how much Blake was struggling with that and how into Claire he seemed, that there was no chance he'd last more than
he
a
read
week
a
or
book.
Two,
and here he is.
He did read a book, slid into those DMs, and read a book.
Blake is gonna just like crush it in paradise. He's
yeah,
going
he's
to,
made for paradise.
He's gonna make out with so many women, like just so many. And I guess use the sex room. You know, they have like one room that you can
sure. Of course. So,
the smush room, as they called it on Jersey Shore.
Are they ever going to bring back winter games or anything like that? Blake would be great on winter games.
They were going to do summer games this past summer for
Canada. Yeah, he needs a winter sport, I think.
Is that because he's Canadian?
I think it's something about the lush beard. I really see him in like a chunky sweater by a fire.
There's been so many
sipping cocoa and shaping a dick out of clay.
There's been so many memes comparing him to like other people and things, and I'm just like, I don't know, Blake is just it has become a cartoon character to me. I just can't, whatever. He's fine. I mean, he's not fine. I don't care for him. He's had no standout moments. The best part about Blake is Spencer's commentary on Blake. That's how we know that he's a horn dog, plus the dick out of clay. So there's that as well.
Dick out of clay. What a revelation that was.
The funny thing is that like they say that he's like, I mean, he just probably likes talking about sex or whatever, but it's funny because he was the most upset about having to strip, and then having to strip, he thought he's gonna have to strip again. And it's sort of, I don't know, you'd think they'd go together, but apparently they don't.
Well, I'd say that just because somebody enjoys the carnal arts and intimate moments with other individuals, they don't necessarily want to be made to undress on television for the sake of someone else's dodgeball enjoyment.
Right. And no one enjoyed that, so including Blake and me.
God.
It was a bad,
poor
bad,
Blake.
Bad date. Feels like
Terrible.
A long time ago. So many controversies ago. All right. Next, I would like to also just say goodbye to Ed, who... per the post teaser bloopers did a face mask with Tayshia, honestly fun, and Damar, who per Dr. Joe is a bachelor expert, so we got to get him on this podcast.
You have to I would love first of all the Dr. Joe pod was incredible. I love him. One of my favorites from the season, and I loved hearing you two talk.
He was
together,
great,
so thank you for that.
Dr. Joe was really excellent, also just incredibly nice. I felt really stupid when I was like, so did you do a lot of intubations? And then I was like, yes, what are you an asshole for asking that question so casually? But here we are. Great guy.
He was wonderful. It was great to listen to you too. I would love to hear you and Damar. I felt one of my complaints about the season is I don't think we got enough of Damar. He seemed like so pleasant and fun and happy and sweet and
happy,
just like a joy
yes.
to be around, just an absolute yes. joy to be around. And
we
didn't see enough of him.
One thing that I have found in quarantine is that other people's joy brings me joy in a way
Absolutely.
That I didn't experience previously. And my best example of like extreme feelings of joy is when McDreamy returned to Grey's Anatomy, but that's besides the point. But Mallory and I have a group text with a few of our coworkers. I texted it, no one responded. But
I was
whatever,
touched.
It's fine.
I was touched. Deeply
anyway,
touched.
I would have liked to have seen more joy this season in general. I mean, that's not the show. The show is not about joy, even though love should be joyous. So I get it. But like, I agree with you. Like, that would have been really nice to see the guys having fun, because when we have seen that, like with like their camaraderie, it's been very sweet. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think that's also not to go back to Zach. I'm sorry, but I do think like you mentioned this earlier. I think that one of the reasons their relationship feels really fully formed is because there's nothing one note about it. It mm-hmm. exists in all of those different lanes. They can go really deep and have really serious conversations, but they're also just really. It feels very effortless with them when they can be playful and they can be joyful. And I think that the relationships that give you, and again, who knows how much of it happens with everybody and we only get to see so much of it, right? But we're seeing all of that with Tayshia and Zach. And so it feels just more fully formed for them at this point. But bring on DeMar. Get DeMar on the pod. That's the real point.
I know. Here. I'm going to. I'll be emailing WB about that as soon as I can. All right. Let's talk.
Is it Bennett
about
time?
It. We've gone 52 minutes. It's time. Let's discuss Bennett. First of all, do you like him?
I think he is remarkable television.
He's the season, right? Like, at least the Tayshia portion.
I mean,
they brought him back for a reason. Without Bennett, like, what do we have going on here? We just have a lot of tears, like a lot.
I say this again without judgment and not in an unkind way. I say it from a position of awe. He doesn't seem real. And I think that would probably be something that would offend him because he'd say, I'm very real and I'm very proficient in emotional intelligence.
His face is frozen into a shit-eating grin. It's like he only has one look on his face and he just is like constantly smiling. This week he smiled the entire time. It's like he was like just going to tweet through it, but smile through it. It was really weird.
Can I ask you a question without risking falling into the same trap that Bennett fell into and having Tayshia and Tayshia's fans, of whom I am one, to be clear, yell at me for daring to ask this question?
I think I know
Did
what you're going to ask, and I'm glad.
Understand?
No.
The whole you're questioning my integrity thing?
Oh my God. I'm so glad you're bringing this up. It made me so mad. I was like, this semantical conversation makes no sense. Have they never heard of shit talking? Like, he was just giving him a hard, he was giving Noah a hard time saying there's a 0% chance, which by the way, I say 0% chance all the time, like just in casual conversation. So I really enjoyed that. It's a great, it's like a great zinger. Anyway, he was just saying his prediction, like if he was in Vegas, the line, whatever, 0% chance that she picks Noah. And that prediction is like the kind of thing you do on a podcast. And I'm not questioning Tayshia's integrity every time I make a prediction about the outcome of the show. And I think that she was just so annoyed that there was drama. Like she just doesn't really want to deal with the fighting, that she just sort of like, it disarmed her. And she just seems so irritated. Also, I hated that dress. She's looked amazing all season. Great clothes. She looked absolutely stunning on the date with Ben, that short black dress that was like sparkly. I was just like absolutely blown away.
I mean, she's a vision.
Absolutely. I hated that brown dress. But anyway, it made no sense. And like to be quibbling over his specific word choices, like there's actually things to quibble with, but that was not one of them.
I was just very confused. And it almost was one of those things where you talk about this sometimes. Did we miss something? Like, was there something we didn't see? You know, it struck me as the kind of thing where if Bennett had said, for example, clearly Tayshia has only kept Noah, who has 0% chance of ending up with her because the producers want him here to cause drama, that she would say, you're questioning my integrity.
Right.
But absent that kind of like specific charge, I just, and again, I love Tayshia. I think she's a great bachelorette and I've enjoyed every second with her. But that was really bizarre to me. I just didn't understand that exchange.
I thought she just transformed into a different person in that moment. I was just like, oh, she doesn't handle conflict that well. I was just like, oh, this is interesting. Because it was a totally different vibe from her. And maybe that's not fair because there's been plenty of other stuff that she's like worked through this season. And I think she's really actually handled everyone's sort of personal stories with like a lot of care and very delicately.
Oh, yeah. But, a ton of grace. Yeah.
But I just feel like in that moment, she just was like so over it. And she probably was tired, might've been drinking, who knows? But I was just like, this is like not the Tayshia we've seen for most of the season.
Well, I think part of it is that she has been very forthright about this. And I think it's a through line of many seasons of the show. What's one of the great animating fears? Maybe I will make a decision because I think somebody is a certain way and they won't be. So even again, like I think we're being just as guilty of what we're saying transpired in that conversation, which is getting hung up on word choice and semantics. If we step back, though, again, I was baffled by it, but if we step back and attempt to assess the sentiment behind it, then it's a little bit more possible, I think, for me to grasp, because clearly, and I think this became very clear, maybe more apparent than it had been previously, when Bennett returned and we saw Atasha process the nature of his return and what it meant to her, she did not want to send him home. She was not planning on sending him home. And she actually is pretty drawn to him, I think, because part of his air of superiority, the privilege that Noah threw at his face during the self-portrait date, is that he just seems like a little above it, right? He's not really, despite how much of the drama he's been caught up in, not really interested in housing around with the boys, right? And so there's something mature and refined. He's like a decanted wine, you know?
That's a great way of putting it. He said something that I was like, huh. He was like, I know I'm not like every other guy in this house. And that was just sort of like accepted wisdom. And I don't think that Bennett seems like such like a outlier. I'm just like, he's just the type and a different kind, but he's not like some freak to me. He's not like condescending. Also, clearly everyone dislikes Noah. Just Bennett was the one to have the fight.
Okay. So can I say one thing in defense of Noah?
Okay.
Will you permit me one statement in defense of Noah?
Of course.
Now, I am like such a bleeding heart, as you know.
I know.
I was really sad and I felt really bad in the moment when he was explaining to Tayshia what was transpiring and why he felt the way that he felt. And when he said to her, I don't think people should be talked to like they're less.
Yeah.
I felt that. I really felt for him in that moment. And I can see how that would be a very painful thing.
He's being bullied by Bennett. There's no way around it. I mean, it actually has not been called that, which is funny because that word is used a lot in Bachelor Nation. But I do feel that Noah is being bullied. And clearly a lot of people don't like him and the guys have developed this camaraderie where they like allow Bennett to be the one to like tear him down. But it also does seem like he's immature. But like, it's not his fault that he's younger. Bennett being like, it's like if you were talking to a 14-year-old for you. It's just like, while the mathematics check out, like, that's not true, Bennett. Like, okay. But I don't know. There's something about Bennett that I feel like I should like Bennett more than I do. But actually something about him kind of rubs me the wrong way. I also, one thing I don't appreciate is I feel like they're using his education against him. And I think that Bennett is dumb for putting himself in a position to like have his education denigrated. Like, I don't know. Like, there's nothing wrong with being highly educated. In fact, it used to be valued. And now it's like, oh my God, this guy, he went to Harvard. And there's nothing inherently wrong with it, but he's positioned himself for that to be used as an insult against him, which I find to be a bummer. I also, his just like constant harping on this EQ and emotional intelligence is honestly strange. The only thing to explain it is like some kind of producer thing. Like, this whole situation reeks of overproduction, but like, it's just bizarre.
But it's a throwback. This is a Bachelor classic, Taylor, and the emotional intelligence conversation rearing its head again. I can't believe we've returned.
I think she just got engaged. I'm happy for her.
Wow.
I know. But I just feel like Bennett, I'm disappointed that Bennett has put himself in a position to be seen as a villain at all. Everyone seems to like Bennett, by the way. He's not a true villain, but I just feel like he could be doing more for himself. Also, the white pants I did not care for.
What show do you think Bennett belongs on?
Southern Charm on Bravo. There's no doubt in my mind he'd fit right in. He's from Atlanta. He reminds me of one of their friends. Yeah, he belongs on like, or he just like belongs at like an Alabama football game.
Huh. I think Bennett needs his own show, a new show that no one's thought of yet.
What would they be doing on this show?
Just being Bennett. Maybe that's what it's called.
Being Bennett. Bennett would love to hear this.
We can learn more about the knee injury.
Oh my goodness.
The old football injury.
There's something about Bennett where I'm just like, I know that I would like you in real life. I'm positive. I'd like to meet him, in fact, but I don't think he's coming off very well on the show. And it's just funny because Van Lathan on Higher Learning loves Bennett. You love Bennett. People really like Bennett, but there's something about his performance that's just not sitting right with me.
just to be clear, I do think he can be really demeaning, and I feel regret and shame and despair in those moments. I think he's like magnetic and fascinating, and I was absolutely like floored when he showed up at the end of the episode. Okay. I literally gasped out loud. And I want to note quickly that Jason Gallagher, our colleague, I think Bennett is his favorite all-time contestant.
Oh, wow.
Just want to note that.
Wow. I was shocked that Tayshia was so taken aback. I was like, I didn't know that she was that invested in this guy. That's really surprised me, actually, that she was like, took it so hard at the lie detector date. All of the guys were whispering like, oh, she regrets sending Bennett home. I didn't realize they had such a connection. Yeah, I know they've made out a bunch, but like, he's just such a jokester. I don't know. I was just really surprised she was that upset.
If I recall correctly, and I, to be fair, may not, I believe Brendan turned around and said specifically to Noah,
yeah,
Bennett.
That's correct.
Which was iconic.
Brendo!
That was just amazing. So, okay. I was also surprised by her response to it. I think again,
I was so
it feels
happy
like
she took off the sash, or not the sash, oh the train,
God. Yeah,
the long white thing that went over her romper. The romper itself was enough. We didn't need the like bridal train. It was very, that was too much, but carry on.
She was so floored when she saw him that literally the door hit her, right? The little swinging entrance to the gate. It was astounding. Yeah. What did she say? She said, well, he first of all said, I realized in that moment that I love you. Now,
I don't believe that. I just don't.
I think
the normal
response of the viewer at home, and this is, again, no shade at Bennett. It's part of the nature of watching The Bachelor.
Part of the fun. Yeah.
You probably hear that and you say, give me a fucking break, right? Or come on.
No way.
Tayshia's response was, it's been a long time since I've heard the words I love you, and it mean absolutely everything. And I know Bennett wasn't saying things just to say them. He went out of his way to say, I don't use that word lightly. I was stunned by all of this.
Stunned.
I wondered again how much of it, and to be clear though, I do think he's been the whole time quite focused on actually saying, I'm here because I think I'd be a great husband and I'm serious about the next step in my life. We've just gotten
very focused on having kids. I think he brings it up a lot.
Yeah, we've just gotten so much more time on him and the bullshit drama with the other guys than him and Tayshia. So who knows? Maybe there's more there than we've seen. I just think, again, it's a little bit challenging to believe that anybody other, I just think the top four here seems so clear.
That
so clear.
Brendo, Zach, Ben, and Ivan.
Yes.
Yeah. Ivan will have a bachelor, so he's not going to win. Yeah, 100%. I think she just seems way more into Zach and Ben than anyone else. Plus, I've felt this whole time that Ben must go really far because we got so much Ben when he was like really doing nothing that it's like the only way to explain it. So, yeah.
So you think they're the top two, not Zach and Brendan?
I think it's Zach and Ben, yeah. Because we just didn't get that much Brendan. And there was an inexplicable amount of Ben. Just absolutely inexplicable. Brendan seems like a way better hang. So like, if I could have had Brendan over Ben, I'm going to be mad. But yeah, I think
two episodes next week, maybe you'll get a lot of Brendan.
Well, one's the Men Tell All.
That's
Men Tell All sucks. I hate the Men Tell All.
This one's going to be particularly.
It's going to be weird. They filmed it in Pennsylvania.
Rough.
Let's talk about quarantine and how they've been doing this stuff. Because it relates to Bennett.
How was he still there?
I should have asked Dr. Joe about this. Like I tried to. What happens when you get voted out or like sent home? I always say voted out like it's Survivor, which is a great show, which we look forward to returning in 2021. They probably had to stay on the premises for a certain period of time. So I wonder if Bennett stayed and then came back. Also, we don't know how long it was in between. That probably was like a few days at most.
Yeah. I mean, it seemed like it was only a couple days, right?
Maybe
like,
he just got tested again. I don't really know. I mean, it couldn't have been more than like 4 days. I bet less than that. But yeah, I don't know. I heard they were pretty strict. I mean, Adam Bambrick or whatever his name is. Adam Hambrick. Is that his name? His name's Adam Hambrick. I have a friend. His last name is Bambrick. Anyway, he certainly had to quarantine. I believe Rachel has said this. She went and she had to quarantine. So they were strict about it. I bet Bennett didn't leave. I wonder like if they were like planning this for a little while and this was just the best time. So they knew it was going to happen. I'm sure there's exit interviews and stuff like that. I don't really know. My bigger question is, and actually this is a little meta. I scheduled you for this week thinking it'd be fantasy suites. I just can't think of anyone better to discuss fantasy suites with.
I'm happy to return. I honestly am expecting a lot out of fantasy suites because, again, the craving for intimacy during quarantine is really
thank
fierce.
You for bringing this up. As I said this in an earlier week, and a friend of mine told me I was insane, and then I was like, I had to reevaluate things. But I find it weirder that there hasn't been more out of sequence hooking up. It's just so much easier than always. But in fact, Tayshia's actually very strict, like, don't kiss me, you can kiss me, whatever. But I'm just surprised that when Ivan had that date, he didn't like stay over. Not even saying like have sex, but like, just like stay over and like have like a late night together. I don't know. There's just so much more access. It'd be so much easier. I don't really get it. Like, why not? And so
interesting.
I'm just confused about fantasy suites. Like, will they all be spending the night in Tayshia's room with her? Like spaced out? Do they have alternate locations? Do they finally get to leave?
I was going to ask you that. Are they leaving? Are the families coming to them? Have all the families
have
been quarantining?
To be coming. Okay, this is another question that I have. Like, how are they handling the family quarantine? And also, like, what if someone's family's like, sorry, we're not coming. Like, we're not getting on a plane. That would be completely legit. Like, completely.
Of course. Oh, my God.
And so,
of course.
Like, is it just like a Zoom call? Like, meeting the parents? Like, are they just Zooming Brendo's parents back in Milford, Mass? Like, what's going on here? I've got so many questions. I don't get it.
Because, I mean, you would think that to abide by the proper quarantine time frame, they'd have to have flown out like
now
more families than are going to actually participate in the hometown meetings, right? So
100%, like maybe Bennett's family is there. I've got a lot of questions because the logistics like just don't make sense. And and like for the hometowns, like what are they going to do? It just seems so boring. I don't know. It just seems like for like the final stages of this, that's when it really breaks down the bubble environment. They should go camping is my thing for the each overnight. It should be like a different, like cool under the stars type of thing. You're close to Joshua Tree or just go someplace where there's no people. That would be my idea. But once again, no one asked me. Plenty of ideas over here. So just give it a map for free. Oh, but yeah, I'm just very confused by like what the next few weeks are going to look like. And I don't think Tayshia ever did a fantasy suite, if I recall correctly. I believe that Colton ended it before, or maybe he ended it with Hannah. I can't remember off the top of my head, but his fantasy suites went down in a weird way because I think Tayshia's the one he didn't do it with. I can't remember. Anyway,
he went to her room to break up with her, if I recall.
Was that Tayshia or Hannah?
Both, right?
Both. But yeah, Tayshia I think first. Cassie did go first. Yeah, and then he didn't do it with them. I think. I can't remember. My memory is failing. Anyway, I'm confused about how this is going to play out and just really confused. Also, like for the quarantining for the mental all, like how long did the guys quarantine in Pennsylvania before they did it?
So I didn't know until you just said that it was Pennsylvania. So I had that was my only thinking around Bennett being there is maybe they all stayed like the whole time to not reveal who had been sent home and to not introduce another quarantine situation. But I guess not if they're in a different place. Well, so they had to quarantine again?
I'm saying they did it in Pennsylvania because they did it during the filming of Matt's season at the resort in Pennsylvania.
So they all have to go quarantine again?
I think so. I'm going to have to find out. So many logistical questions. Rob Mills, call me back and we'll do a podcast. So we'll see. Just calling people out left and right. But yeah, it doesn't make any sense. But yeah, the mental all was at Nemacolin where Matt's season was filming. Curious if they leave there at all. Apparently that's a much bigger resort. One of David Jacoby's theories is that a cold weather reality show is just not good. And so I'm curious to see how that plays out with Matt's season as well. We'll see.
Interesting.
Do you miss Chris Harrison?
There are fewer opportunities to derobe in the outdoors or interesting.
And like it's like cats and heat. I don't know.
More opportunities to like snuggle up for body heat though. Think about that way.
You don't really see that, but it's true. Mal, do you miss Chris Harrison? Week two without him.
Let me tell you, I really do. And that's, again, not nothing but love for JoJo, but I've really felt Chris Harrison's absence.
It's an incredibly different vibe. I think JoJo's doing a good job. It's very fun watching someone you're, like, familiar with, like, figure out how to host. But Chris is, like, a real calming presence that I undervalued and not having him right now is definitely weird. I've been enjoying JoJo, but I feel like this does help Chris Harrison's bargaining power in the future. You're just like, wow, we really need Chris.
It reinforces, especially in a moment of supreme instability, how much of a constant he is. You know, Juliet, we're both huge Lost fans.
Constant. Huge.
One of our favorite shared episodes of TV of all time. And that's Chris Harrison for us. He is our constant. Yeah. Bachelor Nation's constant. He'll be there when we call.
I love you, Penny.
Is that you, Pen?
So good. So yes. Good. God, I love that episode. It's so emotional. Check it out. BestTV.TheRinger.com. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I miss him too. I think it's kind of fun having JoJo's female energy. It's definitely different. I feel like this they should have like the friend. Chris Harrison still hosts, but I just feel like the lead should get a confidant. And usually this is the producer, but they don't make it on air. But it would be cool to see like an actual confidant that they get to have, like a plus one to like run ideas past. And like when she's like, I'm so confused, like instead of talking that out with the producer, talk it out with your actual friend. I think that would be cool.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, you're in general a proponent of real life entering the show more regularly, the kind of conversation you'd have, the ability to look up somebody on social media, Google them, etc. I think that's interesting. One of the things that I found myself thinking about with JoJo a couple times, this is no fault of her own. Again, I think she's done a very good job and has been very compelling. I keep thinking, are the guys maybe all going to fall in love with JoJo?
They seem really excited when she comes in the room. Thank God and she's engaged.
Not because they're not in love with Tayshia, but you know it's JoJo's like we suddenly are back in paradise here, you know?
She's an effervescent
gal. A lot of people
gal.
In the mix.
I totally agree. They seem like, they're like, great to see you, JoJo. I think Zach said that. They seem like very nice to her, being very nice to her. I love it. I wish we get a Jordan appearance, not to denigrate JoJo, but Jordan's just like a white whale. I love Jordan.
One of the reasons one of the things I hope we get is, I don't know if we'll see more of JoJo or if Chris Harrison's back right away next time, but JoJo and Jordan are kind of the poster couple for nobody else had a shot, right? Mm-hmm. Like it was just him from the jump. It was him the whole way. Some creative editing tried to convince us that maybe it wasn't going to be him. And then it was him, right? And
I hate Robbie.
Because this seems like really like, okay, this is looking like Tayshia and Zach and maybe Tayshia and Brendan, maybe, you know, to your point, Tayshia and Ben. I would love a conversation between Tayshia and JoJo about, hey, I knew it was this guy. I would love to see how Tayshia responded to that. If there was a tell in her reply to that, because she said that she's falling in love with multiple people. We, again, heard her say in this episode that she loves Ben. We heard her respond quite sincerely to the Bennett confession and of love.
And seems really into Zach.
And she told Zach that she was falling in love with him too. And that when he said that at the lie detector test, she wanted to reach across the table and like grab him and hold him and tell him how she felt. So I wonder if we'll get something like that.
I hope so. It's been a good season. I just think these guys are just unlike any other group we've had before, which has really contributed. And it's been a fun time. I've enjoyed it. I mean, Mallory, we might have to get you back for Fantasy Suites when we see how it plays out.
I'm here if you need me. I'm just like Bennett. I'm just hanging around waiting for someone to let me back in. So you're going to load up Zoom one day and I'm just going to be sitting here with Kaya waiting for you.
Sounds great. For more Mallory, listen to Binge Mode. It's currently covering Marvel, the MCU, Tuesdays and Thursdays, I believe. Check that out. And I will also be back on Thursday with more Bachelor. Thank you so much for listening and talk to you soon.
This episode is brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. As a ruthless king builds his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th. and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.